This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, and I'm your host today, Ready Radio, KLZ 560. And this is a live program today on September the 20th as we head into fall. A little weather changing this weekend, potentially. We will see how that turns out. But just a reminder that fall is around the corner. The evenings are getting much cooler. And Dan sent me this, and he's been sending me some great stuff here of late, so I appreciate that very much. And I changed this list around some, and if you guys listening want to add some things to the list, feel free to do so. Our lines are always open, 303-477-5600. You can text us as well, 307-200-8222. So this was a little video on 20 cheap items to stockpile, hoard, and barter with. Okay, now, some of these, I think most of what I've got on the list is inexpensive, as in most cases, as I look through here, I think, depending upon the quantities, of course, that you buy, you're $25, $30 or less, depending upon what you're buying, and the quantity of course. So as I said, I took this list, you know, I watched the whole video and all of that, and then I added a few things to it, and I'm sure there's more that folks could add. This particular video is just talking about some of the, you know, lesser expensive things that, A, you will need, things that you, again, need to stockpile and hoard. And hoard is a little different terminology here than what you would think of hoard with, you know, the show hoarders and so on. I mean, this is stockpiling things that you'll need. Not that you're, you know, trying to walk over things because you have so many things in your home. We're not talking about that, but really stockpiling things that in these times you will need and find great use in. And in some cases, be able to barter with. One of the things that, again, they're fiction books, but one of the things that I have found in a lot of the books that I read, and somebody asked me to compile a list of those books, I will do my best. I apologize. I haven't done that. Somebody asked me before vacation if I would put that together, and yes, I will. And I'm almost always listening to one of those. Currently listening to one called The Lodge. It's about an EMP event. And what I have learned, though, and again, these are fiction, but I think the one thing that the majority of the writers get right, is the things people run out of quickly. And believe it or not, it's things like, and it's stuff that we talk about here quite often, but it's things like medical kits, you know, medical care kits, Band-Aids, gauze, ACE bandages, things like that. The other thing that they typically run out of is inexpensive .22 ammo. Because, again, when you're trying to survive and you're trying to kill small game and so on, you're not using large guns to do so. You want to, you know, you want to save as much meat as you can and so on, so you're not using big guns anyways. And what they find, and this is true in most every one of these that I've read, is .22 ammo becomes scarce and or it's a tradable item. Now, one of the things, too, when it comes to the medical end of things, in this last book that I've been listening to that I thought was really great, and I don't think anybody thinks of, and I've never seen this on anybody's list, but having things like stretchers, back braces, knee braces, elbow braces, neck braces. I mean, think of things where if you get injured or somebody in your team gets injured, what ability do you have to help them? So you sprain an ankle. Do you have an ankle brace, an ACE bandage even? Do you have the ability, you know, to, you know, yeah, you can use things like duct tape and so on, but typically that doesn't work real well. You know, and if you're somebody, by the way, that has some known previous injuries, you probably, and some of these things can be picked up relatively inexpensive, by the way. I'm not saying go out and buy brand new stuff. You can go to a lot of the secondhand stores and find a lot of things where somebody has had an injury, they're done using that item, it's laying around the house, and then they go take it down to wherever. Or, and I'm not trying to sound morbid here, but people pass away, and some of those people could have had injuries, could have had knee replacements and things along those lines. And when somebody passes away, the first thing typically a family does is they go through and clean a lot of those things out. And unless there's an immediate need inside the family, those items are disposed of. And most of what I'm talking about can be thrown in the washing machine and cleaned. So that's not even a cleanliness thing. In a lot of cases, they're even clean before you would buy them at a secondhand store. I'd probably wash them again anyways. But the one thing in this particular book, and this is the first one of these I've read, is somebody in this book actually did come across and find a knee brace that, in an ankle brace, a boot even. In this particular case, it was one of the boots. Somebody had a bad ankle, and somebody actually ended up with a boot. They had scavenged out of a town they had been through or something and thought, well, that might be necessary at some point. So those are the sorts of things, too, that I would, it's not necessarily on this list of 20 things this particular person put together, but those are the sorts of things that you need to be thinking through. And in some cases, instead of maybe throwing those, maybe that's one of those things where you take a trunk or one of the big plastic tubs that's sealable and you put all those items in it and go store it away someplace in a nice, cool, dry place where, you know, critters can't get into it. And in that case, by the way, the other thing that I would be doing, and I've learned this through the years with certain types of items that you're trying to store, put that in a bag. Put those items in a trash bag. Then put it inside the trunk. Then seal the trunk up or the tub up or whatever it happens to be. Chances of mice or anybody, anything getting into that is pretty slim because, frankly, they can't smell what's in there and it's all airtight anyways and they really don't know what's going on. It's a really good way to store things, even inside of a trunk, tub, or whatever. And I get it. Most of the time, mice can't get in those things. But all they need, you know, something warps just a little bit. Maybe you put it in the attic and it gets a little bit warm. And there's now just this little gap, dime-sized gap somewhere the critters can get in. So I would double bag some of these things if that's what you're looking at doing and storing and so on. The other thing, by the way, too, that in every one of these that I have found, every one of these scenarios that are in these books, and granted, they're fiction books, but in every one of them, they run out of food. Every one of them. Things go long enough, people are out scavenging for food. There's not enough. And remember, too, that as things, if this were to happen, some sort of a large solar flare, EMP, something along those lines, and you're now scrambling, power's out, you know, things are in just, you know, total disarray, you're going to pick up even other people along the way that will probably join you, and there is strength in numbers. Now, you got to make sure those people that you're bringing in can be trusted and so on, but at the end of the day, typically your numbers will grow, not diminish, in that regard. Overall, numbers will diminish. Throughout the U.S., and if this is a worldwide event, throughout the world, you definitely will have numbers diminishing. So anyways, let's go through some of these items. 20 items, and there's more than 20 on my list. I didn't count them all up because I added several items to the list. But some of these you may already know and may already have. Some of these items you may be thinking, oh gosh, that's really cheap. I should probably grab out. And again, some of these items you don't have to go out tomorrow and buy. But when you're out and about, especially as we go through different seasons, some of these items go on sale. So the first one, for example, as camping season ends, lighters actually will be on sale. And they can be just a pocket lighter. They could be the long lighter, you know, that you use to light candles and fires and so on. Some of them are rechargeable, some are not. In this particular case, this guy's thought process, and I would agree with him, is just a regular standard Bic lighter is about as good a thing you can have around, period. And I would put one of those in different backpacks, different places. I mean, to buy a couple of six packs of those probably wouldn't cost you $25 or so. I mean, I haven't looked to see what lighters cost. I don't smoke, so I don't look at that. But having a Bic lighter and plenty of, and again, keep in mind, we're not just talking about your survival, but trading items. So let's say, for example, you end up with 20 of these things. And, you know, the crap hits the fan, and now you're trying to trade and barter for other things. Well, the other person that you're trading with may not have any of these. If you've got a few extra, now you've got some bartering power. And again, on the front side, these things are really inexpensive, but these are the sorts of things that will go up in value the minute some sort of a major event happens. So, lighters. And this guy didn't say how many you needed, but I would say double or triple the amount you think you need. And again, knowing that you're going to use that for a ton of things. Because when the lights go out, you'll now be using, you know, candles, you've got to start fires, there's all sorts of things now that you need, you know, fire for, and having a lighter to make that really handy. And you can use them for all sorts of other things too. You know, you cut a piece of paracord and you need to, you know, you need to glue the end, you know, you need to heat the end up so everything melts back together again. I mean, that's one other use for it. All sorts of things that you can use a lighter for, not just to start a fire. So think about that and how many you have and or don't have. That's one of those items personally where I have a few, but I need to shore that one up. I don't have enough of those. I have other fire starting items, but lighters are just simple and easy. There's nothing you need to do other than flick it. That's it. Matches. That's another one that I think people sort of forget. Do you really need matches? Yes. In fact, you need the stormproof, waterproof matches. And once again, thinking through this, it's not just for you. It's do you have trading power with what you have? So you've got a pack of windproof, waterproof matches. What's the value of that? A, not only for your own survival, but as you're out and about and you start doing some trading back and forth, you know, what do you need? One other thing, too, to think about, and this is not in a lot of these prepper things. It's in a lot of the books that I've been reading, but it's not in necessarily some of these, you know, quote-unquote prepper material, is find stash areas. What I mean by that is, let's say somebody all of a sudden, you know, because this is one thing that I think is for sure, and I think these books have this right, and I've said this a lot. The gangs grow. The nefarious individuals get larger. They collect people daily. And in turn, they get very big and very powerful. They go around, in a lot of cases, just raiding other people's stuff. Not even methodically. It's just, you know, if you have it, they'll take it. Just to be mean and rude and obnoxious. You know, to show their power, basically, quote unquote. So, one of those things where having hidden places, hidden stashes, where you can hide certain items, I would highly recommend. For some of you, that could be you've got a crawl space. Okay, great. Do you have the ability to dig a hole in that crawl space and hide a big trunk and some things like that down underneath the ground and then cover that back up where nobody knows that's there? That's kind of what I'm talking about when it comes to stashes. Some of you may have the ability to do that in backyards and other things along those lines, but do you have the ability to stash things? If you don't, be thinking about that. Even when you think about, okay, I'm going to go to this place when I bug out. Okay, what areas there do they have to stash things in? Because once again, every one of these books that I've read, for the most part, the bad guys come along and at some point in time will try to steal your stuff. It's almost a given. Now, that doesn't happen within a couple of days of an event, but within a couple of months, that's going to happen. And again, at that point, everybody's trying to scramble around and you know, keep and find as much stuff as they possibly can and then hang on to it. All right, next on the list for this particular 20-plus things is fuel. And what this guy was saying is anything, butane, gas, you know, white gas, Coleman fuel, alcohol even, anything that burns. You keep in mind one thing, too, and he talks about this a little bit later, and I will, but hand sanitizer can be used to start fires. It burns. All of us as kids have, you know, you lay the hand sanitizer out and you light it and it'll stay burning until the hand sanitizer goes away. The alcohol is burning off in the hand sanitizer. So fuel for anything. A, do you have enough fuel for some of the stoves and heaters and things that you have? B, do you have other types of gas you can use for various things? Starting fires and so on and so forth. You may even have some older equipment and things that may even run after an EMP, and I'll talk about that too today if I get a chance because there's some misinformation, I think, out there on that. But let's say you have something that's older that runs. Do you have enough fuel to enable you to go from, you know, point A to point B? So far, lighters, matches, fuel, all having to do with the lighting of fires and so on. And again, as I've said many times, you're already going to be in sort of a stressful situation because you're constantly working to stay alive, stay warm, all of those certain things. The last thing you need to be doing is dinking around with how are we going to start a fire. Now, for some of you, that's easier than others. But honestly, folks, you know, a capful or two of alcohol, white gas, whatever it happens to be, thrown into some kindling. And, you know, you take a lighter, light that up, and now you've got fire. You know, point being, make things as easy as possible when it gets to that point. If it gets to that point, it will it? And folks, I don't know. Again, I talk about on this program all the time that this is a program for the what ifs of life. What's coming around the corner? I honestly, I don't have any idea. I don't know. Is the world getting better? No. What happens in this next election? I don't know. I did say this the other day, and I mean this sincerely. If Donald Trump wins, the left will riot. That one I can guarantee you. Bar none. I'd go to Vegas and bet on that one all day long. The left will riot. They did the last time around. They'll do it this time. They're going to lose their minds. So if he wins, there's rioting. They'll burn down cities. There'll be lots of things that happen. If you're an employer or you know somebody that owns a business in some of the inner city areas in the country, I would highly recommend that as we get closer and closer to the election, depending upon who looks like they're going to win, I would really consider what I do with my business at that point in some of those areas. So some of you that have friends, family, and so on in some of those areas, I think I would really clue them in on if Donald Trump wins, the left's going to lose their mind. And they will. I mean, they already have, but they'll demonstrate it fully if something like that were to happen. They did it once, they'll do it again. That one I can guarantee you. Okay, next on the list. And this one I've talked about, and you think this one would be a given. He says toilet paper. I added paper towels as well. So toilet paper, paper towels. Again, paper towels can be used to start fires, do other things with. They can also help clean, sanitize, all of that. And then, of course, toilet paper is a given. You already saw what happened during COVID with toilet paper. It'll be one of the first things that runs out. And when it does, it becomes dire. Where, again, keep in mind, this list is not just for you and your survival. This is trading, bartering as well. So let's say, for example, I don't know, somehow or another, you end up with a dozen cases of toilet paper. And you're stocked up really well. You can barter off a roll at a time. And that roll could get you any number of things. Some of the things that are even on the list that we're going to go through today, you may end up being able to get with just a roll of toilet paper. Those sorts of things will go up in value overnight. You don't think much about it right now, and it's very inexpensive to buy a case of toilet paper. What is a case now, Charlie? $22, $25, maybe something like that at Costco, I'm going to say. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm going to say low 20s. Again, most everything on this list is between, in some cases under 20, but $20 to $30 in most cases, depending upon the quantity you're buying. So let's say, for example, you can end up with $100 worth of toilet paper. Overnight, immediately, that just gained huge value. Not monetarily speaking, because money won't mean anything at that point, but in trading power, it will be greatly sought after. Paper towels will be as well. So those sorts of things, paper products in general, I think will be sought after. Plates, napkins, paper towels, toilet paper, that sort of stuff. So I would stock up on that. Those are the sorts of things that I would have regardless, especially after what we went through with COVID. Now, does that mean you need to hoard those? Depends on how much room you have. Keep in mind, paper towels and toilet paper, sort of a lifetime shelf life. I mean, I don't know what the shelf life really is, as long as it's dry forever. I mean, really, what's going to happen to it? And if you'd go back to the double bagging like I was talking about, and everything is all dry and sealed up and there's nothing inside of it, you've got an indefinite lifespan. Store it as long as you want to. Now, I'm also one where I believe in rotating those things out. If, for example, you're somebody that can have a half a dozen packs of toilet paper, cases of toilet paper, not the six packs, but actual cases. Sure, take your, last in or, first in, first out sort of a thing to where that oldest stuff is getting rotated out and, again, keep the stuff fresh as much as you can that way. That's what I would do. And you guys all know your households and what you can and can't do as far as that. All right, I got a lot more on this list. I've gotten through so far five items. I've got more than the 20, so we're working our way through this. If I get it all done today, fine. If not, I can carry this on in the next week. Some of you may have some items you want to add to the list as well. Again, our line here, 303-477-5600. You can text us as well, 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. We'll be right back, though. This is Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
Do you want to improve your health, fitness, and beauty? Are you an athlete recovering from an injury? A weekend warrior who is sore from your last workout? Do you have a chronic medical condition trying to meet a health and wellness goal? Or maybe you are looking for a great doctor who thinks the way you do. Dr. Scott Faulkner and Castle Rock Regenerative Healthcare is your path to a healthier tomorrow. Owner Dr. Scott is a board-certified internal medicine specialist, bringing decades of experience and expertise to the table. Dr. Scott is a true advocate of the latest advancements in healthcare. That's why he uses umbilical-derived stem cells, which have been clinically proven to be the most potent stem cells available. Worried about being lost in the crowd of impersonal healthcare? Fear not. Dr. Scott is a big picture doctor, not beholden to big pharma like some other providers. He takes the time to understand your unique needs and will customize your healthcare to fit you, your body, and your lifestyle. Reach your full potential and achieve your goals. Call Dr. Scott today at 303-663-6990 or visit him online at CastleRockRegenerativeHealth.com or find him at RushToReason.com.
You're driving down the road and out of nowhere comes a bang. A huge rock just hit your windshield and now you have a star in your windshield. Did you know that chip can be fixed? But who is the best? Who has the best resins that keep developing them to work with the newest windshields? That would be Novus Autoglass. Novus, which is the Latin word for innovate, invented windshield repair in 1972, and it still leads the industry in cutting-edge technology, backed by more patents than any other repair and replacement company. While other glass repair services offer limited warranties, or worse, none at all, you can trust the original Novus pros to stand behind their work with a full refund that you can use towards a windshield replacement for the life of your windshield. Find a Novus location near you by going to any of our websites, ready-radio.com, drive-radio.com, or fixitradio.com. Just click on the Novus link. That's Novus Autoglass.
At Roof Savers Colorado, we are about more than roofs. We are about helping you make the best decisions with the right information. Being a homeowner isn't getting any easier or cheaper, and neither is getting your roof the solution it needs. Deductibles are going through the roof, and with every passing year, insurance covers less than the one before. Due to a record amount of hailstorms recently, insurance companies have started limiting your coverage and pulling out of states entirely. We know the industry. With over 3,000 roofs under our belts and 23 years of experience, Dave Hart and his team are ready to complete a free roof inspection and discuss the option that is best for you. Don't wait. Policy renewals are increasing by as much as 50%. Now is the time to get the solution you need. Call Roof Savers Colorado today at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com. That's 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com to schedule your free inspection and start saving your roof today.
Looking to buy or sell a classic car? Need a reliable valuation you can trust? Look no further than BP Appraisals, LLC. With over 20 years of experience in the appraisal industry, we provide fast, accurate, and professional appraisal services that you can count on. Did you know that an appraisal can also entail the forecasting of monetary earning power? An appraisal is a document with a valuation conclusion. It is not a pre-purchase inspection, a mechanical evaluation, or a recommendation to buy or sell your vehicle. It's the actual value at that moment in time, which many need for things like estate planning, insurance, or investing. At BP Appraisals, we value your property like it's our own. Make informed decisions with confidence. Don't settle for less. Choose the experts at BP Appraisals, LLC, where precision meets professionalism. Visit us today at bpappraisalsllc.com and schedule your appraisals in just minutes. BP Appraisals, LLC. We know what your property is worth. That's bpappraisalsllc.com or call 720-295-0108.
And we are back, Ready Radio, KLZ 560, going over 20 items. I have more than 20, but 20 cheap items to stockpile, hoard, and barter with. So up next, so far we've gone through lighters, matches, fuel, and then, of course, toilet paper we just covered a few minutes ago before the break. Bleach. I've talked about that one in the past. It's another cheap item, which I don't think you can have enough of in these particular situations. So bleach does all sorts of things. It's not just for cleaning clothes. You can sterilize things with it. You can clean things off. You can use it for the cleaning of, you know, sanitation of water and so on. It's just one great item to have around for a lot of the things that you're going to find in that type of a scenario. And I talk about this a lot because it's one of the things also that comes up in a lot of these books that I read is the sanitation things get you know, get really ugly at times. And those that do better at keeping up on it have less issues than those that do not. So in a little bleach can go a long way, and it's, again, one of those items that's very inexpensive, and it's a trading item as well on down the road. And it doesn't necessarily have to be traded, you know, a gallon at a time. You could figure out ways to, you know, get, you know, hand that out, you know, trade that out in lesser quantities as needed. But bleach is really inexpensive. You can buy it in, you know, case at a time even, and it's really inexpensive. And it's, again, one of those items that you can rotate in and out of. And last I checked, and Charlie, maybe you know this off the top of your head, but shelf life, I don't know that there is one. I'm looking right now. I think it's got probably a, you know, quite some time, 6 months before it starts to degrade, and it will last at least a year. So there you go. I just looked it up. Bleach shelf life. After the shelf life of 6 months, it starts to degrade, but concentrated bleach won't lose its effectiveness until at least a year. So there you go. And my gut feeling on that, too, is if you keep it airtight, you probably can even go longer than that. So it will last quite some time. It really, if you store it correctly, it says here between 50 to 70 degrees, yeah, you can keep it for quite some time, and it won't lose its effectiveness. So something to remember when it comes to bleach. All right, the next one. This one I thought is pretty self-explanatory, but I guess in today's world, because so many people use liquid soap, that bars of soap aren't bought like they once were, I guess. But bars of soap will be a great trading item as well. Not only for yourself, but again, for the bartering end of things. Now, this is getting harder to do, but there are still some places that do this, and I still do this to this day. Charlie's going to laugh because he knows what I'm going to say next. When you go to the hotel and there's bars of soap, and if you do it correctly, you can typically leave there with, you know, two or three different bars on your way out, throw them in your suitcase. That's an easy way to collect them for, I mean, I know you've already paid for them because you're paying to stay at the hotel, but you get what I'm saying. You're not going to the store and purchasing them. And even the little small hotel bars down the road bartering will be worth money in this particular case. And that's, again, one of those items that I think, unless they get wet, they've got an indefinite shelf life. They're not going anywhere. And something else that most people probably don't think of, going back to the bleach, you know, you take just a teeny bit of bleach and that bar of soap, and you can actually wash clothes with that if you absolutely have to. If you don't have any other types of laundry soap kicking around, you could actually clean your clothes with that if you had to. Back in the day, before they actually invented laundry soap, that's what they used. You washed yourself and your clothes in with bar soap, right, Charlie? That's just how they did it back in the day. They didn't have anything else. They made their own soap, and you could even see old videos of, you know, ladies on the scrubbing board with a bar of soap scrubbing the clothes down and so on. So you can use soap, that type of soap, for all sorts of things, not just for cleaning yourself. So bars of soap, that's one of those things, again, too. Get a tub, start stockpiling those things. You can buy bars of soap on sale in a lot of cases, and it doesn't even have to be your favorite brand of soap. As long as it's a bar of soap, it doesn't matter whether it's your favorite brand or not. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just stockpiling things to either have for you or as trade on down the road. And soap, again, will become one of those commodities that a lot of people won't have because they won't have thought through it. Most people won't have the ability to make their own. Don't know how. Frankly, I'll have to learn that. I don't know how to make soap. I've never sat and made soap. Charlie, have you ever made soap? No, he hasn't either. I doubt many of you listening have. And if you have, congratulations. Might be something worth trying, by the way, now before the crap hits the fan. But if you have enough stockpile, you really don't need to make any. And the question becomes, when is enough enough? I don't have that answer. I don't know. Depends on how long things would be offline. I really don't know. Next one on the list. This one I've mentioned in the past numerous times, but trash bags. I don't think you can have enough trash bags. All sizes, all shapes, including black. black trash bags can black out windows. So we've talked in previous weeks about how if you happen to be able to have some light on at night and you're not really sure who's around you and you want to keep things to a minimum and you don't want people knowing what's going on inside your home, you may want to black out windows. These, you know, black trash bags would work well for that. One thing, by the way, that I'm going to add to this list that was not on here, because I think it's one of those things that's worth having for all sorts of things, is razor blades. Not the razor blades for your razor to shave with. I mean the straight razor blades that have, you know, just one edge. You can grab the other edge. You can use it to, you know, scrape paint, scrape windows, all that kind of stuff. Inexpensive. You can buy boxes of razor blades for pennies on the dollar. Literally, they're not very expensive at all. And they have so many uses that you'll find yourself, you know, using them as much as you would a knife at times. Those straight razors will work for a lot of things. And if you've got the ability to actually have one of the scrapers that would hold that blade, go for it. You know, pick some of those up as well. That's not on this list. But those are also another, I feel, bartering item. Because those razor blades can be used for all sorts of things. It, you know, way better than even having a knife at times, depending upon what you're trying to do, cut, and so on. So, on top of bars of soap, having straight razor blades are something that I would throw in there. Trash bags as well. And again, trash bags for numerous things. Not just for bagging up trash, of course, because you're going to want to keep sanitation up, but all sorts of things trash bags work for. As you all know, you can use them for, you know, game bags if you're out hunting and you need to put some game in a particular bag and keep it away from other things. I mean, on and on we go. You just go down the list of what things can be used for trash bags. Great, great handy items to have. And again, one of those items that are pretty inexpensive and you can buy several different boxes of. And again, we're talking about being able to barter with these as well. Keep in mind the big trash bags also can work well as ponchos or things like that. So throwing a trash bag or two just in your backpack, your pouch, not a bad idea to have at all. They're great, especially if you're out doing anything, camping, hunting, etc. Trash bags work for all sorts of things when it comes to, you know, that end of things. So yes, have an assortment of trash bags as well. John and Cheyenne, what's going on?
Hey, you said something about, you know, talking about soap.
Yes.
One of the things that I would say is you want unscented, because scented stuff will attract critters and bugs and stuff like that. And when you're not able to bathe as much, you don't want to put scents on your body.
Right.
I know we do that when we go backpacking. Usually the day before we leave, we'll shower with unscented soap and stuff so we don't have any scents to draw, whatever.
Right.
I mean, right, if you're in bear country, they say you should even put your toothbrush and toothpaste in your bear bag when you hang it.
I would agree with that. Sure, absolutely.
Yes, so you don't want the scents. And the other thing you might want is, in addition to dark trash bags, you might want some of those orange ones that stand out that you could use as if you needed to signal somebody.
Yep, and you know, the other thing too that actually I should put on this list too, as you just said that, John, and something that you could barter with as well is the tape, just the red tape that, you know, you just, you know, the plastic tape. You're not taping things up with it, but you can mark it for things, mark trails and things like that. You should have some of that as well.
Oh, like police line tape, stuff like that?
No, the small stuff, like the small 1-inch wide orange tape, you know, that you can mark a trail with and so on.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would work.
That's another one that was not on this list that I'm just going to add into this, because that, you know, orange, basically it's marking, I think they call it marking tape. I don't know exactly what the technical name is.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
But, you know, you put that up high in a tree, you know, you may see it, somebody else may not see it. You know, if you've got a stash of something someplace, you know, you mark a tree one area and you know that, you know, 20 feet from said tree is where your stash is. I mean, all sorts of things you can use that for, as you know.
Yeah, the only other thing I had to suggest when you were talking about razor blades is if buy a big pack of blades for your utility knife. Those are tradable.
Those are good too. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, have the great idea. Utility knife, razor, you know, basically razor blades and utility knife blades, both.
Yep. And then the other thing is people should really relearn how to sharpen their knife.
Good point.
How many people don't know how to sharpen a knife?
Well, given all of the fancy things we have now, most probably don't.
Right. And even if it, there's one that my wife uses in the kitchen. I think it was $6 on Amazon. It's got a coarse and a fine set of stones in a V.
Yep.
And
I've got one of those.
Got a rubber. Yeah, I think
works
it was
well.
Like $6 on Amazon.
They work great.
Yeah, it works really
They work
good.
Fabulous. I mean, having some of those around is a great idea, John.
Yeah, like I said, $6, and you could barter that probably. Oh, you're having trouble sharpening your knives. So I got a knife sharpener.
Yeah, and again, one of the things I want to make sure I keep reminding everybody of is these are things that you're not necessarily going to use. So back to your soap thing, for example, John. Honestly, if I'm bartering it, I don't care if it's scented or not. I'm going to take some of that hotel soap I've been gathering all these years and use it to barter with.
But, for sure.
You keep the good stuff for you and barter off the other stuff.
Oh, yeah, but...
Because at that point, those people won't care.
No, they're just looking... And when we backpack, there's a phrase among the backpacking community called embrace the stink. Have we come in a situation like that? Wash your face, wash your hands, maybe take care of your feet, but you don't have to shower or try to bathe every day.
True, good point.
I mean, if you got a creek or something where you can... dive in and just do a rinse off, that's fine.
Yep.
Because if you're trying to maintain the same level of cleanliness
you're not.
In a survival situation,
stop.
You're
yep.
wasting
not
a
happen.
Lot of energy, too.
Somebody just, a friend of mine just texted me, too. Surveyor's tape is what they call that orange marking tape.
Okay, yep. And speaking of tape, another thing I didn't hear on the list, was rope on the list?
Further down, I'm not there yet, but yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
All assorted shapes and sizes, by the way, not just one. You know, that's one of those things, have an assortment of, and you probably can't have enough.
Oh, yeah. Parachute cord I love the best because of the strength-to-weight ratio.
Correct.
So that's
absolutely
strong. All right, John, you have a good day.
You too, man. Appreciate you, John, very much. Jerry, go ahead. You're up next.
John, because of my odd schedule, I only get to hear part of Ready Radio.
That's fine. Not a problem at all.
Well, and I can hardly ever call, but a couple of weeks ago, I think you were talking about gun safes.
I did that last week, actually.
Last week, okay. And I didn't get to hear the whole program. Did you touch on modular safes?
I did not. I mean, what I said was there is lots of options when it comes to safes, and really what I went through is, number one, figure out what somebody needs. You know, what are your needs first? How secure do you need things? Do you need that ability, like you just said, to be able to add on or expand? Because there's about as many different safes on the market. Really, Jerry, as you know, kind of the sky's the limit. You can get as basic or as fancy as you want to get.
Well, I've got a bad back, amongst other infirmities, and when it comes to moving heavy things like that, up and down stairs, you know, it's good to be able to break them down. Anyway, there's a few decent modular safes on the market where instead of having to move the whole thing, even taking the door off,
right,
you can break them down into individual panels. So the sides, the back, the top, the bottom, you know,
it comes in six
pieces. And then you bolt it together, basically, once you get it where you're going. So it could be a real back saver for some people.
Nice. And for those of you listening, too, there are safe movers. And, Jerry, you probably know this, but there are safe movers and dollies even that'll go up and down stairs to make that a lot easier. But there's professional guys that it's not as expensive as you think to move a safe up and down the stairs. The downside, Jerry, is when you're going up and down stairs, you're limited to how big the safe can be.
Right. And those electric dollies, those stair climbers, those are great. A friend of mine, he hired some folks to move a big, heavy unit for him, and he was horrified. They dropped it on one guy's foot and crushed his foot.
Oh, no.
So that was horrible. But, I mean, the thing I don't like about that is then somebody knows I've got a gun safe, right?
True. I hear you there, and that's where... I've always just done it myself, getting enough help, guys, friends, family, whatever, where I've never hired it out because of what you just said. I've always wanted to do it myself. But, you know, for some people, that option does exist.
Well, and those modular units, you know, they just come shipped in round cardboard.
Yeah.
So you're just carrying six boxes into the house.
Yep.
So,
good idea.
anyway, just thought I'd share that.
No, I appreciate that, Jerry. Thank you, by the way, for that very much. Jennifer, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi, John. The term you're looking for is flag tape. That's that plastic, bright-colored, fluorescent, orange, green, yellow, pink tape. And a suggestion, if you are actually putting things into large totes with plastic bags and that, the last thing you might want to throw in there are some mothballs.
Good idea.
Because if it does get opened by some kind of critter, when they smell that, they will move on.
Great point.
And you will also know by the smell that something got in there.
Great point. Good idea.
Okay.
Now, thank you. I'm going to add that to the list, Jennifer. Not a bad idea at all. Also, I'm going to add to this list, somebody just texted in, Mickey texted in too, and said cheap socks. Yep, you know what? There's another one of those things in these books that I'm reading, that another one of the items that people start to run out of, because you're now, for the most part, walking everywhere. You're no longer sitting down. You're no longer in the car. Very few people even are using bicycles and things like that, because depending upon where you end up, they may not even be usable. For example, if you end up in our foothills up here, bikes might not even be much of an option at all. And what I'm finding, and again, I think the authors have this right, is socks wear out quickly, because you're on your feet literally all day long every day, and they're wearing their socks out much, much faster. So the other thing, too, to go along with the socks, by the way, that I would add onto that also would be, if you've got the ability to have extra shoes, that's the other thing that you find in these particular books that people run out of, is good shoes. They don't have enough. They may have had one pair of boots, for example, starting off this adventure, and that doesn't last you a very long time. So if you've got the ability to stock up and have even, you know, a couple extra pairs of boots or whatever, not a bad idea as well. Again, we're talking about if you can stay in place and not have to, you know, bug out and go someplace. But a lot of these items that we're talking about, even the socks, become a bartering item. In fact, the book I'm reading right now, a few chapters ago, they did exactly that. They actually had some bartering that they were doing, and they had, to Mickey's point, socks that they used as a bartering tool along those lines. All right, one other thing I want to add to this after the list I've just gone through, and I'm adding this, is cheap ratchet straps. Now, I say cheap because you may just be using these things to barter, and you know, depending upon what you're using them for, you may not need to have the most expensive ratchet straps made. And there are times where they're on sale. I was at Home Depot the other day, and a 4-pack was like $10. So you can buy ratchet straps pretty inexpensively, and the uses of are huge, even just in the survival end of things. What you can use ratchet straps for is huge. So that's another item that was not on this list that I just added into it. So guys, hang tight. I'm going to come right back. Lines are open, 303-477-5600. Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
You work hard to keep a roof over the heads of you and your loved ones. The last thing you need is to be worrying about the condition of that roof. That's where we come in. At Roof Savers Colorado, we pride ourselves in helping homeowners like you get a new roof without all the worry. Deductibles are skyrocketing, and since it's illegal to waive those fees, the financial burden of upgrading your damaged roof can seem overwhelming. But here at Roof Savers, we offer both financing options and referral fees to offset some of those upfront costs. Already filed a claim with your insurance? We are happy to utilize those insurance proceeds to get your roof the replacement it needs and your home stronger protection from hail. With over 23 years of roofing experience, Dave and his team are ready to help. Call us today at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com to set up your free inspection. That's 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com and stop worrying about your roof today.
You're driving down the road, and out of nowhere comes a bang. A huge rock just hit your windshield, and now you have a star in your windshield. Did you know that chip can be fixed? But who is the best? Who has the best resins that keep developing them to work with the newest windshields? That would be Novus Autoglass. Novus, which is the Latin word for innovate, invented windshield repair in 1972, and it still leads the industry in cutting-edge technology, backed by more patents than any other repair and replacement company. While other glass repair services offer limited warranties, or worse, none at all, you can trust the original Novus pros to stand behind their work with a full refund that you can use towards a windshield windshield replacement for the life of your windshield. Find a Novus location near you by going to any of our websites, ready-radio.com, drive-radio.com, or fixitradio.com. Just click on the Novus link. That's Novus Autoglass.
If you're looking for great quality eye care, look no further than Stack Optical. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and for over 20 years, Alan Stack has been taking care of our optical needs. At Stack Optical, they handle all of your eyewear needs with glasses, prescription glasses, shooting glasses, sunglasses, contacts, eyeglass repairs, and yes, even eye exams. And those eye exams are only $69. And if you've been told you've got a complicated prescription, that's just one of the specialties at Stack Optical. At Stack Optical, they have their own on-site lab, and in most cases, you can have your new glasses in just 2 to 3 days. Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, free and up-close parking. Call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or visit stackoptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Are you a real estate agent looking to elevate your game? Or a for sale by owner and need professional marketing for your home? Look no further than Homati. Step into a world of endless possibilities where success meets innovation. If you're a realtor, you gain access to cutting-edge tools and technology designed to streamline your business and maximize your profits. From our state-of-the-art marketing platform to our revolutionary virtual tours, Homati equips you with everything you need to stand out in today's competitive market. If you're a homeowner looking to sell or even a short-term rental owner, Homati will help you market your listing at the same level or even above that of realtors. The Homati platform is a game changer. It's intuitive, user-friendly, and will completely transform the way your home is marketed. Join the thousands of real estate agents and homeowners who have already made the switch to Homati. For more information on how Homati can help you, call Robert and Julia Swope at 303-502-3464 or find them at fixitradio.com. Homati, your key to real estate excellence.
All right, we are back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. Our website, by the way, ready-radio.com. Pat, you're next. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. You guys were talking about the flagging tape.
Yes.
You probably should remember to get some good quality flagging tape because the inexpensive stuff fades really fast.
Yes, good point. It does. You're right. The better quality, the longer it'll stay. Now, I guess that would depend upon how long you're trying to mark something, but yeah, I think you would want the better stuff given these circumstances.
Sure, yeah. And if you're really in a situation where you have to move to a different location, it probably would be hard to remember this, but sometimes you have to go back and take that stuff down because it might confuse somebody else.
Very
that's
true.
Moving into that area.
Very true.
So be sure to clean up to just leave with no trace found.
Yeah, and a lot of these books that I read, Pat, that they're trying to be as under the radar as they possibly can, not letting anybody know where they're at and so on. So to your point, yeah, you'd want to make sure that even if you're utilizing some of these things to mark certain things, you're doing it in such a way that, as you know, Pat, there's some ways you can, mark things in the tape where you'd see it coming one direction, but you wouldn't see it the other, and you've got to factor all of that in. That's something to really think about.
Yep.
Absolutely. Great point.
Okay.
Tad, thank you, by the way. Appreciate that very much. Great advice. Jim and Byers, you're next.
Wow, you're a busy man on the phone today, John.
It's been busy today. Yes, it has. Hit a nerve. That's okay. That's all good.
Well, I'll tell you quite personally, I know this is not for everybody, and I know this list is, probably a good thing for a lot of people, but,
Jim, it's just kind of designed to get people to think about not only, what do you need in these times, but what could you use to barter and trade with, because there's going to be some things you're going to need as well.
Sure, no, absolutely, John. I don't, for me, it's the top of the list for bartering stuff is going to be food and medical supplies.
Food, medical supplies, and I'm going to throw one thing that's on my list because it's at the very bottom, but I might as well say it now since you're there. 22 ammo. 22 rimfire ammo, Jim, will be worth gold.
Absolutely. But, I will tell you one thing. I read a lot of World War II books, John, and I don't care. You didn't have to be a prisoner to have this happen to you. Especially people in Europe experience this. But I'm telling you something, John. You better have a lot of anti-diarrhea medication.
Oh, good point. Yes.
Dysentery is just, when you don't have a lot of clean water to sit there and wash your stuff, I'm going to tell you, dysentery is going to break out like something you won't believe.
Yes. No, you're right. So you know, that's a good one. In fact, I'm going to add that onto the list. Having some, you know, Imodium and some of those sorts of things would be a good idea.
And believe it or not, I mean, you don't even have to have the Imodium. You just get the generic kind.
True.
And you,
true.
You can buy a 500 pill bottle for like about $3 or $4.
That's a great idea. And again, that's another tradable item as you get down the road as well, because a lot of people are going to have effects of that, especially early on, Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Absolutely. And I mean, part of the reason why, like people like my wife and I, and we didn't really experience this too much until we bought us our farm and we had farm animals. I mean, literally, I mean, we come in the house. I mean, from being outside, being around the animals, if you don't wash your hands, I'm telling you what, you're going to have diarrhea.
Good point.
I mean, and I'm serious, John.
Good point.
You can't believe how many, we probably wash our hands, I don't know, 50, 60 times in a day.
No, which is a good reminder that that whole sanitation thing in these types of times where you're not going to have, you know, quote-unquote running water like you might otherwise, that's one of those things to really think about. Yeah, to your point, Jim, it is one thing that these books don't get into grave detail, but, yeah, you can just imagine the amount of you know, digestive problems, let's say it that way, the amount of digestive problems people are going to have when something like this happens.
Absolutely. And then you mentioned the one that I was going to bring up, because you are going to be on your feet a lot. And my wife thinks I'm crazy, but I keep a lot of extra shoes around my house.
Extra shoes? No. Jim, I don't think when it comes to, I think there's two types of shoes you ought to have in these particular circumstances. Good tennis shoe type, you know, climbing slash, right. you know what I mean by that. They make some now hiking type shoes that are more like tennis shoes. Those and then regular work boots. I don't think you could have enough of either one of them.
Right. Well, I mean, like if you're in Colorado, I mean, you better have a really good winter
absolutely
winter boots too.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So
yep.
Anyways, that was my list of things.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim, very much. And John from Cheyenne texted in too and also said, don't forget wool socks instead of cotton socks. And yeah, for those of you that can do that, some are allergic to wool, of course, but if you can do that, absolutely. Now, what I would say is nothing wrong with having cotton socks to trade off. Again, one of those items bartering wise to where you may be fine with what you have. And you could have bought, you know, a bundle of regular cotton socks at Costco or wherever, and you just got them stashed away, could very well become a good bartering item because the other folks, frankly, when it gets to the point where you don't have any, they'll take whatever they can get. But yes, I agree with John. If you've got wool socks for, you know, especially in the wintertime, day-to-day stuff, absolutely. And then the other thing that I would say to learn how to do, I've known how to do this for years because I grew up with a grandmother that did this a lot, and I was fascinated by it, so I learned how. Learn how to darn socks. A lot of people don't know how that works. Now, the way I was taught was you need an old light bulb or a new light bulb, but you need a light bulb. So I was taught at an early age how to darn socks, and my grandmother always used a light bulb to do that because you can stitch right through and you just makes the shape where it needs to be, and you darn socks and away you go. Again, very few people do that anymore because you literally can go down and buy a new pack of socks at whatever big box store you want to buy, and they're relatively inexpensive, so very, very few people do those things. But this is another one that you probably, and I didn't have this on the list, I'm going to add it right now, ought to have probably a little sewing kit of some kind. Now, I'm not saying you got to have a full-bore sewing machine, because if you don't have electricity, that's not going to do you anything anyways, but you probably ought to have a sewing kit. Some basic thread, some needles, you know, the thumb protector thing. What do they call that, Charlie? I'm losing my train of thought. I can't think of the name of it now. Goes over your thumb to where, you know, if you poke yourself in the thumb that, you know, you don't, you know, it's the metal thing that goes. I was going to say thumb. It's not thumbnail. It's thumb something or other. I can't think of it now. It's a thumb protector. I don't know. Metal thumb protector. I can't think of the exact name. You'd think I would know that. But again, because none of us do this anymore, you forget these things. But again, one of those items that I would have some of those things around, have a little, you know, tackle box, I guess you could say, of some of this stuff in it. And again, these are some of the things that you can get almost anywhere secondhand because people, you know, these sorts of containers and stuff. Thimble. Thank you, Charlie. Thimble. Thimble. Thank you. Have a thimble as well. My wife just texted me that also. So a thimble, some thread, a few needles, you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, because again, folks, when we get into these types of situations, you're not going to go down to the store and buy a new shirt. You're not going to go down and buy new socks. You're going to have to keep what you have going as long as you possibly can. One thing, too, that wasn't on this list that I just thought through as we were talking through this, shoelaces. You ought to have extra shoelaces as well. And again, that's one of those things that you just need to have enough of because you're going to go through them, so you might as well have extra. So shoelaces, sewing kit. I'm going to keep adding some things. I've got about halfway through this list today. I'll have to come back next week and finish some things up. And through the week, if there's things that you guys are out and about and you think, hey, these are some things I could add to the list, you know, go ahead and text me those things, and I'll throw those things into this list by all means, and we'll add to this list next week, and I'll continue to talk about it. And some things that aren't on here that you would think would be basic care items, toothbrush, toothpaste, and so on. Now, I didn't see that guy, you know, I didn't see it listed in this particular video. Some of this, he's probably already thinking, okay, well, those are a given. But again, when you think about the bartering of things down the road and where other people may not have thought through some of this, the majority of this list is not just for you. It's what can you use to barter and then gain what you need out of it as well. So think through items. And this is where even as you're going through and you're cleaning different things out, and I'm not one to say just keep something to keep it, but if you think, hey, that could be a very tradable item in those times, as long as it's not taking up a ton of room and you're not paying a lot of storage, quote unquote, for, throw it in one of those tubs, mark it, off you go. Now, one thing I've also learned on the tubs, and you can do this numerous ways, but take some, you know, masking tape, throw that on top of the tub, and then write on the tub what's inside of it. You can also just use a magic marker and go on the top of the white lid of the tub or whatever and mark it that way. But if you use masking tape, of course, that could be changed on down the road. But use a Sharpie and some masking tape and get it all dialed in so you know exactly what's inside the tub as well. And then back to Jennifer's point, the mothball is a great idea. Throw that inside. Critters are going to stay out, and you keep everything nice and protected. And you know actually at that point in time if somebody actually did happen to get into it or not. All right, that's another week of Ready Radio. Ready-radio.com is our website. I'll finish out our list next week. Text me other things that I can add to the list throughout the week as well. 307-200-8222. This is Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.